just started, so there we go. Hello.
Hello.
I just waved at the
Darryl wave. It's not a visual. It's not a visual medium, unfortunately. Yes. So episode number
13. Oh, unlucky 13. Sorry.
Unlucky 13. Sorry,
you skipped straight to 14.
We could skip.
They do that in American hotels. They don't have 13.
Yeah, they do that on planes as well. Yeah. There's no seat number 13.
Yeah.
Just people.
There's also this is way in the future for us, but they also skip 666 a lot in hotels and bus routes and stuff.
666. When would you? Oh, room 666. Not floor 666.
No, but 666 isn't even the devil's number.
I know it's
616.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Why is that right?
Yeah,
it just got changed.
It got changed because 666 rolls off the tongue a bit better.
Why 616? It's so funny.
I don't know.
You'd have to ask whoever wrote it.
They changed like bus routes and all. Just like a bus route was changed from 666 to 616 in England, I think.
Oh, really?
Just because people were so paranoid.
About getting on it.
But yeah, so we should probably introduce our guest here today.
Yeah.
Bu-Yuridine. So this is pretty big. This is like a coup, as people would say. It's very big to get someone as influential in the music business to get in on this little tiny podcast with two gobshites from South Dublin. But thank you so much for coming along.
Oh, thanks for having me.
So yeah, just here to have a little chat, basically, because you're over with Eddie Reader at the moment.
I am, yeah.
That was a good segue.
That was straight learning.
Yeah. Yeah. So how's that going, actually? How was the
great
gig today?
Yeah. Well, we played last night. Where did I play last night?
The Mullingar.
Yeah, thank you. That was nice. And it was my birthday.
Happy birthday.
And the night before that, we were in Vicar Street in Dublin, which was really good.
That was brilliant. Yeah,
I really enjoyed
that. Yeah,
really
brilliant gig.
Enjoyed it. She's really on form because we don't have set lists or anything.
No.
So it's all down to how she's feeling.
How she feels.
So she's cool. If she's
have
not.
Have you been called out before?
Oh, millions of times.
Yeah.
Oh, millions of times. She'll sometimes start a song on stage we've never heard before, and we have to. I got caught out quite a lot last night. My monitor broke. My guitar went funny, and something fell over all at the same time. I thought it was going to be the worst birthday of my life. But then we got it back on course, yeah.
The worst Seamless. Birthday ever.
Why me?
You could probably
shout
worse.
Into the mic.
So that's good. How long's the tour running for now? When
you finished up? We finished on the 22nd.
Very nice.
And she's got a new record out, so there's lots of touring this year. We've got a tour in April.
Yeah, Vagabonds, yeah.
Yeah, and we're going
to. And were you were on the record as well.
I was. I didn't produce this one. She produced this one, and she wrote most of it as well. Quite often, I write quite a lot of it, but this is her record more than any. But I've been involved with 10.
Wow, very good. And where did you record it?
We did it in Glasgow. We got a guy that Aaron knows is called Mark Freegard, who came.
Oh yeah, you're talking
about him.
Yeah,
he's
and we did half of it in his studio, which is really like your room here. Really, with just a desk in the middle, and the other half we did in her kitchen. We just set up in her kitchen, like with the stuff that he got for coming down to see us. Actually, and he straight after that, he set up in.
And
her
was
kitchen.
That just to kind of give it a more comfortable feel to the album on a whole, or was that
I
just?
Think,
cause
I think
it was
just sheer laziness from her, so she didn't have to go very far.
Because I know Liza Minnelli did a whole album from her bed, didn't she? Like her last one or something like
Who
that.
Who did?
Liza Minnelli just invited all her friends over and recorded it from her bed because she was too lazy. I say she was too lazy. She had just had her hip replaced.
Yeah. That's not nice.
It's a bit unfair to say she's lazy when she literally couldn't get out of the bed.
No.
But sure, you know.
It's happening more and more that there's the last Foo Fighters album was done.
That was done at home.
Because a studio is just
You do whatever you can do to be comfortable. I mean,
the studio is just a room, really. It's the equipment that records it. So it was really. Yeah, it was nice, and she sang in she's got a little pantry in the kitchen, so she was in there.
Cool.
Quite a lot of the time.
Yeah.
And he is touring the UK after this.
In April, and then they're coming in now. She's just got new people looking after her and stuff, so they've got gigs coming in all the time. We're going to Japan and we're going to Australia.
Wow.
And somewhere else. Which I forget, but it's going to be fun, yeah.
It'll be good, yeah.
And then you've got a solo tour coming up.
I have got a solo tour coming out in May.
That's a lot of work, it seems like.
Yeah.
I meant to have finished a new record, which I haven't for that tour, so I'm feeling quite stressed at the moment. I've got 1.5 songs recorded so far. So I've got a tour.
That's not too bad.
No, I've just got some
more Darryl.
Long outros and stuff. It'll be fine. So yeah, and that tour is called My Name in the Brackets. So I'm going to be just singing all the songs I've written. you know, in my life. And that'll be really nice. But yeah, so it's a really busy year.
What number of solo albums is this?
I don't know. Okay. It's not that many, you know, because I work with so many other people. I mean, I've done two Eddie albums and two. I've got my duo called State of the Union with Brooks Williams.
Yes.
I've done two albums. I think I've done five albums at least in between my two solo albums of other things. Yeah. So I don't often get a chance to do my own stuff. So.
I was just thinking there, earlier on we were talking, I meant to ask you, because we did the whole pranks thing for the Panto. When you're on stage,
yes,
would you ever kind of, to put it lightly, would you ever kind of fuck about with people on stage, or would you ever not go as far as putting dynamite in the drum kit or anything like that?
You definitely used to. There used to be a tradition on the last night of the tour, you'd have to, one trick which is quite good is putting the lead singer's vocal through a harmonizer so it comes back a semitone out through the monitor. But I don't know if I'd dare do that with Eddie.
No, he's got a temper, has he?
Well, I'd find out, wouldn't I? But yeah. No, we don't actually. We used to. But I don't know why we don't. I mean, we have fun in that. There's always lots of chat and fun on stage.
Yeah,
I don't know if you could see that.
Banter on stage.
Yeah, even between us and stuff. And it's brilliant because a lot of times bands, especially when they play places that size, it's really like rehearsed and strict. And we just sort of amble on and I like it. So I was having a bit of a chat with John through most of that game.
Yeah, it's one of the most relaxed gigs I've ever been to, because even it's weird when you see the band seems as relaxed or more relaxed.
Well, it's a bizarre mix of relaxed and not relaxed, because we don't know what's coming next. Yeah. So I think it's just I think it's just sort of
it's also odd for me and Dara being like 30 years younger than the next person.
We did notice there were some younger people there at the front, but we were a bit suspicious about why they were there.
We loved it, because in Vicar Street there's a if you want to go to the bathroom or get a drink, you have to go through the front. So we loved any time a song would finish, there'd be this like
long
three or four. And we were always expecting them to go across dancing.
I said that. Yeah, I was like, you know, if you're going to come in halfway through a song, at least it'll be
That was
whereas
that
you
a
just
bit
get like middle-aged blokes with a beer in their hand just kind of go, sorry, Darren, just need to sorry. You're like, you'd almost want to apologise to the band because you're just kind of getting in the way.
Yeah.
Like entertaining people.
One person did as he went past. Said sorry to me.
That's nice.
But I had no idea why he said that. I was trying to work out if I'd ever met him in the past. Or
apologising for something way in the past.
What'd you do?
Dara was telling me a story that you told him, something about Steve Earle, was it?
I might have mixed it up now,
but I found it hilarious. Something to do with you were recording with him. He was a fan of firearms or something.
He's got a couple of bullet holes in him, which he showed us when we started recording. But he was never packing heat.
No Phil Spector stories.
No. But I do like really when we first met him, he'd just been in a fight in a nightclub where he was trying to give someone first aid, and someone thought he was attacking this fella.
Okay.
And a policeman went like that with a nightstick, and it burst all the blood vessels in his eyes. So the very first time we met Steve, he looked like a character out of a horror film. He just had red there. And so that's the first thing you meet him like that. And then within 10 minutes, he was showing us his bullet holes and stuff.
And how did you get from the fight to look at my bullet holes? If that's another question.
I don't know. I think it was an awkward silence. And he just thought, maybe I'll show them
my wounds.
Did it help the album at all?
He made us behave very well, you know, because he's obviously a lot harder than us. No, we'd never met anyone like him, and we learned that after a while that if he came into a room and went, "Hey, what's going on?" he was just saying hello. So the first time we met him, he went, "Hey, what's going on?" and then I started telling him. He was like, "What? Well, this guy's playing keyboards."
So would that be the kind of the most eccentric kind of person you've worked with?
Oh, you know, I love Steve. I think he's a genius. I really do. I've got loads of... Oh, no, we've worked with
him. Like, have you ever properly thought, this guy's a nut job?
You don't have to say names, but...
You don't have to name names.
No, we've had some producers who've been unusual, but Steve, he's really, really... No, and he's really influential on... For us, or for me, anyway.
Because the Eureka was supporting, wasn't he, as well? He said he was going off to play
Woodstock.
Yeah, the guy who supported you in Vicar Street.
He mentioned something about working.
Yeah, he said he was going to work with Steve Earle over on Woodstock.
He probably is. I didn't see. We were upstairs panicking at that point. Okay. Yeah, Steve's great. He does a lot of producing, but he did. What were they called? Energy Orchards. Do you remember them? They're from.
No.
It was Brian Kennedy's brother.
Oh yeah.
And he did that at the same time as us, and he was just getting into producing then. But I knew Steve, and then Steve got his drugs, and he disappeared for 4 years. Okay. And then, but I stayed in with him. He was really nice. Someone sent a thing on the Facebook that like he's doing a gig in New York the other night, and he started talking about us. It was really nice, you know.
Yeah.
He's one of the most intelligent people I've ever met in my life. His brain works so quick, you know. So. And he caught through all that drug stuff. But no, we've had some producers who I don't know if I can say stuff because you might work out who it was.
Go ahead, you can talk. No,
we can cut it out
if you like.
Just bad producers who've just made bad choices.
Just thinking you can be like giving Dara advice never to work with them. There you go.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a nice spin on that.
I would say I love being produced and I've been produced, but if you get within 10 minutes that they're trying to put their own stamp on it, that's, yeah. But if they're there and they're trying to work out what's in your mind and trying to help you get to it, they're the good ones. Mm. And Steve sort of was like that, even though, you know, because we weren't like a country rock band, you know, which is what he was doing at the time. He was really good. But he was, it's amazing. To see him come through that, he's been married so many times, and he's on wife 7.
Yeah,
he married his first wife twice, things like that. And he was so different from us, and he was really taking lots of drugs then.
Yeah,
and we really thought he was we'd lost him because he sold all his guitars, he stopped playing, went to prison, all that sort of stuff, and he's come back. So he's amazing.
That is great.
That is a great story. Fair play to him.
Yeah.
Of all the people you've written for, who would have been, you know, in your mind, what ones kind of stick out? Apart from the Spice Girls, of course.
Oh, Spice Girls. Well, I wrote two songs that, what do you call? Sporty. Mel C. Did. And I liked her really, she was really nice. And I also wrote a song that, Baby Spice, what's she called?
I never met her.
What it was that I have lots of friends who do songwriting all the time, and they have a little sort of studio in London, and you go down and spend the day, and you don't know what's going to happen with the song and stuff. And I did that for a while and had songs that got in the charts and stuff. And a lot of my friends are still doing that. One of my best pals wrote that song "Mercy" by Duffy.
Where he
was just about given up, and this woman came around to buy his flat because he couldn't keep it anymore, and it turned out to be her, and they wrote "Mercy" in it. And now he's got a big studio complex in London.
Cool.
And he just had a number one. Well, is that a John Newman thing? What's that called?
Oh,
Love Me Again.
Yeah, that's not.
But Steve does that every day, you know, and he doesn't play live anymore. And when I first knew him, he was a really, Steve Booker, he's called, he's a really, really good singer and guitar player. And he does that all the time, and it's fine.
Yeah.
But I tried it for a while, but I didn't enjoy it as much as playing
Nothing better than kind of being on the road.
Yeah, so those, the guy who I wrote the things that Melanie C did, wrote with him, he was called Phil Thornalley, who's a really interesting guy. When he was young, he used to work with Mickey Most. I don't know if you know that. It's the guy who used to produce people like Hot Chocolate and stuff. When he was when he was 17, he worked as his assistant. Like, he played the wah-wah on the bongos on You Sexy Thing when he was 17. Cool. And then he joined The Cure and was their bass player. And then he left The Cure and joined...
A small band.
Yeah, and then he left them to join a total pop band. And then he started writing songs, and he does that. He's really successful, Phil. And he does it, and that's what he wants to do, you know.
Yeah.
So that's how those sort of songs ended up. But the songs, if I write songs for people like Eddie or whatever, and not famous people, just people I like sometimes, you know, those are the ones I really get excited about. I was asked, Eli, I was writing a song this morning for a folk singer who you won't have heard of, but I like her. I just like her, and I try and get a song on each of her records just because I like her a lot, you know.
Yeah.
That's what I like doing, really. So.
And of all the kind of bands you've toured with, like The Bible and Eddie now, which one has been your favourite? Or is there obviously different kind of times, different styles as well.
Probably my favourite has been recently with there's an American guitarist that I started a duo with, and we're called State of the Union. I don't get to play with him as much as I like because he's gone back to America. He's called Brooks Williams. He's a fantastic sort of blues player, which I'm not from that thing, but we put together this duo, and I absolutely love that. It's probably my favourite thing. We just did last week, did our last five shows, probably till the end of the year, but I love it. That's probably, it's just so enjoyable.
And you've released two albums of them.
Yeah, two albums.
Two really good albums as well.
Yeah, I like them. I'm very proud of them, actually, especially the second one. Yeah, and he's a really nice man, and it's just fun. We just go somewhere, and it's popular, and a lot of people come, and we just have loads of fun. So I love playing with Eddie as well, but for that duo thing, that's been, because I do a lot of touring by myself, which is really good fun, but it's just nice having someone to talk to rather than yourself.
Yeah, no, there's nothing like the voices in your head.
Oh, I know, I know.
They write the best.
But when they turn on you, that's.
And what was it? Well, Darryl was telling me you only started playing guitar when you were 19.
Yeah, that's right. Because I used to make up songs, but I had no way of playing them, you know.
Yeah. So, what was it that, when did you finally kind of go, oh, do you know what? I'm actually not too bad at this.
I never really. It's just a tool. It's just a tool for me.
Self-loathing is something that every musician has to have.
Yeah, I'm amazed and delighted that I get to get gigs because of my guitar playing. It was always just a way to
get the songs out.
Yeah, But like Eddie obviously likes the way I play, so it's nice because she's. We've had loads of. We're trying to work out how many people have been in a band, and we got into the 40s and names we couldn't remember, and lots of different guitar players and stuff. But she was.
And how long have you been touring with Eddie now?
20 years.
Wow.
It's amazing. Yeah, it's only, absolutely amazing. But I knew her before then. I met her sort of briefly a couple of times before, but the time I really got to know her was I was producing a record in Windmill Lane, actually, and she came over. She came over to sing backing vocals on it just after Fairground Attraction had broken up. And that was just, I had this amazing night of sort of making up songs with her and stuff. And I've been doing stuff with her ever since.
That's really cool.
Yeah. Oh, it really is nice. It's a real, adventure we've been on. And and what I like about her more is that she's been going all this time and that, but it never feels like, you know, other people who had records out at that time, it's like a nostalgia thing, but it doesn't feel like a nostalgia thing because she's got a new record out and it's being reviewed as a new record. It's not like, oh, come and see someone who had a hit years ago. Do you know what I mean? So that's what I like.
And in your spare time, kind of in the you do just kind of get to sit down, is that even for you? Is that just go home and write some songs, or is it
a lot of the time? But normally I've got to do stuff.
There's no really time just to kind of sit down.
Gary's on tour, you know, because you always have good intentions of writing on tour. It's really hard, but I did manage to write something this morning. But that's sort of actually the closest you get to a holiday is when you're on tour, you know, because of the day. So I managed to write on the last tour a bit, but I've only done one song on this one so far. I've been quite lazy, to be honest, if I'm honest. Yeah,
you can afford to be. You've been in the business a long time.
Yeah.
And the gigs are work as well.
That's true.
Of all the places, you've kind of toured, like, where's the kind of the most mental fans, or like, what's the maddest thing that a fan's done while you've been on stage or anything like that?
Well, the first time we with Eddie went to Japan, we were like really amazed at how audiences are really different.
Was that the story where you played the Patience of Angels intro and then she got lost?
Oh yeah. We were starting the set by playing his song called Patience of Angel. I played the intro and then she was going to come on after about 30 seconds.
Which is a rock and roll move.
Yeah. We thought we'd try it, you know, because normally we just shamble on and shamble off, as you saw. We're back to that now.
That worked.
We thought, let's try and do it. And then she went through the wrong door into a shopping centre and I was just playing the intro for a really long time. They're really, what struck me with the Japanese audiences was how emotional they got. I like, they'd like the sad songs or something you'd look at and they'd be like people crying and stuff. It's lovely. Probably my favourite place touring is Australia, probably. I'm not sure why, I just really like it.
Yeah.
I met my wife there as well, maybe.
Oh, very nice.
Which helps.
Yeah.
That does, that's always.
It doesn't happen every time. Yeah. Not every time I go that I don't meet a new wife.
You know? Not going to do a Steve Earle and not meet a new wife every country you go to.
No offense to Steve Rowe.
No offense to Steve. If he's listening, I don't think he is.
He might do. I mean, it's gonna put you're gonna put Steve Rowe in your thing, aren't you? He'll probably Google it, and then you'll come, and then he'll track you down.
Still googling himself, isn't
he? Yeah. I've got a really good name for self googling because I think I'm the only one with that name. But okay. He's not bad. He's not bad for the self googling. I feel really sorry. One of my favourite.
To be honest, I'm not even famous, and I Google myself.
Yeah, well, actually, we all do that. But one of my favourite singers is an English guy called John Smith.
Yeah,
And he's brilliant. He's really you should check him out. But you can't really Google him, can you?
Because it's such a
Your top John Smith's going to be this man. That's a nerd thing there. Sorry, Dara's wearing a Doctor Who t-shirt.
Oh, all right, yeah.
So
John Smith, there you go. Sorry,
that was his name.
Was it?
Yeah, it was his alter ego.
His alter ego in the show is John Smith.
Is it? I did not know that.
Yeah, there you go. You learn something new every day. Yeah.
Well, no, this is a different John Smith. But you know, so it's good to have a Googleable name.
Yeah.
You have to think about that when you form a band.
Yeah, I won't be forming a band. Yeah. I'm a terrible musician. Yeah. As I always tell Darryl,
when you end up on
guitar vaguely when I'm at home, and that's it.
When you end up on radio, you'll be okay. Corbett's not too bad. That's like
no, in this country they're all over the place. You can't fucking go anywhere without there being.
Is that your surname?
Yeah, unfortunately. So.
No, that sounds proper.
That should be okay. Yeah,
that sounds good. Yeah. That sounds all
right. Thank you.
You could get a real disc jockey name. Like,
oh, God, yeah, I could, yeah. Change it to a disc jockey name.
Yeah. I can't think of any at the moment.
What you don't want to do is have one that runs out of time. Like, there was a DJ in the 70s in UK called Kid Jensen, and he's still calling himself Kid. And
oh, yeah.
Oh, God, yeah. It's kind of like Kid Rock, though, as well.
Oh, yeah, and he's like...
Yeah, he's what?
Man Rock.
Yeah, not even Man Rock. It's kind of like Midlife Crisis Rock.
Or there's Boyzone... And they're
boys
back together
out.
Now.
It's not boys out.
No, you're not. No.
Anyway, none of them live in the West anymore.
Yeah.
Well, they don't. They split up. Quite tragically, I would say.
Yeah, there you go. That was a travesty to music. Did you ever write for Westlife now?
No, I didn't. No.
Such a shame. You miss one there. You really did.
I did have the chance. But
did you?
No, I didn't, yeah. I knew their keyboard player.
Oh, very good.
And he suggested that I do that.
Yeah.
And then it went really quiet.
You might have brought some credibility to Westlife. No. Good God, that would have been amazing.
It's probably not too hard. You need a key change so they can stand up.
Yeah, a key change so they can stand up, and then just another one. It's funny though.
It's like I have had pals who've written those sorts of. You know, it's a skill in itself.
You
have a go. You'd be surprised.
I'd imagine if you go in, there is kind of like written in your contract if you're writing songs for Boyzone, they do say, okay, there has to be a key change at some point, because we can't have them sitting down for the whole set. At some point, there has to be the anthemic key change in which they can stand up.
But these days, though, the key change goes down instead of up because they start the song singing, and then they get a bit tired and have to sit down. So.
Yeah. You see them bounce around the stage like Robbie. Jesus Christ. Yeah. You wouldn't know how he can keep going at his age. Well, he's 40 still. That's old.
He did that thing. This is embarrassing, but I went to see Robbie Williams last year.
We won't judge
you. I like him.
Really. I know he's all right.
But he like kind of... paraglided down from the top of the Aviva Stadium to the stage. That was really weird.
You weren't tempted to do that last night at your gig?
No. It was a smaller stage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was one of those things.
You would have had to kind of cut a hole in the roof and then just kind of drop down.
I'm ready.
Okay. And then it's like five people going, yeah. Okay.
You're just hanging there like that.
I'd imagine that's happening.
Yeah, no, I was very impressed though with that, because that's...
We were shown a video a while ago of when we were down in the pavilion, the stage manager showed us a video of a production of Peter Pan, and you know the way kind of Wendy and Peter fly at the window? Right. Yeah, well, they got the wrong wire, and Wendy was standing there, so Peter's supposed to fly into the window, and they pulled the wrong wire, and Wendy just... into the wall.
Oh, dear.
But because the girl wasn't expecting it, she just her body's completely limp, so it's like a corpse being thrown through the room.
That's always nice at Christmas.
Oh my god,
it's
hilarious. And Peter's just still kind of standing in the window with his hands on his hips. Like, what the hell do I do now? Looks absolutely ridiculous.
Have you ever been doing that with the Eddie gigs?
Well,
that'd be great, because then you just sit down after.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's like a huge, huge entrance, and they sit down.
And then just sit down. Yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah. I like it, yeah. I'll bring it up at the next meeting.
And someone can come up through the floor as well.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good move.
Yeah, the bass player, the guy with the double bass, can come up through the floor. That would be a good one.
We have done that once, I think. I think we were in a theatre and they had that, and we had someone come up. Yeah. But not, I don't think anyone noticed. You
know. And have you ever written songs? Well, it's not a question, but have you ever written songs for musicals or anything like that, or is?
Well, there's a band called Squeeze.
Yeah.
Who, and this guy called Chris Diffin, and his last three records I've written with him. For his records, he just writes lyrics, and so I write the music for him. But yeah. At the moment, we have been writing a musical about his life, trying to get off the ground right now.
That would be
great. It was good fun. Yeah, it was good fun. But they're
I'd
just
say
song.
it's a different kind of experience.
It is different, but the thing was that the first set were a bit more like musical songs, and realised it didn't. So they're just songs, really.
Yeah.
But they just have flamboyant bits in them.
And I know you probably get this question on every single fucking time you've done. And you can hate me for asking this question, but where does the name come from?
Well, Hewardine.
Yeah. Hewardine.
But, okay, my name's Mark.
Yeah.
And there were six of us called Mark in my class. So we named up, we thought of names for ourselves. I was six at the time. And I'm Boo Hoo. Not Boo Hewardine. It was hilarious. When I was six, it was the funniest thing you'd ever heard. But I'm stuck with it my entire life.
It's better than mine, which was Grandad.
Well, there you go.
I've been nicknamed Grandad for the past 10 years.
Why?
I don't know. Because, well, the people who...
You do know, to be fair.
I do know, because I have the personality of a 60-year-old man.
Oh, right.
I'd probably have a personality than all the collective ages.
Yeah, but you would never use your nickname professionally, would you? I mean, you're not going to go
Grandad
on the radio.
Corbett.
No, on the radio, here he is, the big hand.
Who knows? You know, it's like easily listening on like Lyric FM or something like that. Mm. The Grandad Corbett hour.
Mm. Mine is awful. Mine was DC. It's very boring. Just my initials.
That's just your initials. Mm.
That's good though. It's a good set of
initials. It's got a bit of a ring to it, but it's not like Boo's,
well,
Boo's better.
Yeah,
I'd say.
Yeah. And I certainly did better than the guy who was given a name, one of the marks. He was Ghoulie Face. I don't know if he uses that professionally now, if he's a bank manager.
I would certainly hope not, unless he's a gigolo. I can't imagine. I can't imagine he's referring to himself.
I don't think that'd help business at all.
It depends on what you're into. There's some niche markets out there.
Oh, lovely to meet you, Mr. Face.
G-Face. Can you imagine being pulled over by the police? And that's the good one. Have you ever heard that thing? You should just call your children Detective Inspector. So whenever you get pulled over, when they ask you what your name is, it's Detective Inspector Cullen's heart. Get off straight away.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, Boo is better than Ghoulie Face.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, no, nicknames was never a thing in Arclight, really.
No.
Apart from Redbeard.
We have one guy who has a ginger beard.
He has a ginger beard. He's called Redbeard. Very inventive.
It's good, though.
It's either that or they're too bad to mention in public.
Yeah.
I, for some reason now, I don't know why, but I've gotten the reputation as a postbox.
A postbox?
Yeah, apparently I look like a postbox.
I wouldn't... If
you wouldn't guess it, would you?
No, if I had been asked to describe you... No, I wouldn't.
Good God, what would you have said if you were asked to describe me?
Well, I wouldn't. I don't know. I wouldn't have said postbox.
Yeah,
how
we were
would
in...
you look like a postbox?
I don't know. We were in Stratford a few years ago, and... Someone decided that someone basically
tried to post a letter in you.
Tried to post something. Someone decided that I look like a postbox, and it genuinely, for some reason, is stuck, and it's really upsetting.
No, don't lose sleep about it. You don't. Honestly,
I don't want to look like a postbox.
We have this on record now.
If you ever did a crime or anything like that,
he looks like a postbox.
But if you really did, that'd be a great way of hiding.
The postbox killer, just paint myself green or red and just kind of stand in the middle of the street.
Having things put in me
in by random strangers.
I
don't know, turning to crime sounds quite appealing, to be honest with you.
I don't know which is worse.
So either that or change my name to Ghoulie Face and become a chico.
Yeah, which would be worse.
They're
my only two options in life. I'm not going anywhere else, to be honest. It's two roads that have to be walked down at some point.
I don't know which is worse, though, would be the posting or the collection time, you know.
where's he gonna try and pull them out from? Good God. That would be awful. I don't know why that ever stuck, to be honest.
Yeah.
And it really annoyed me at the time, and it still does, because I don't look like a postbox.
No, you don't. It's all right.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm not going to ask you to describe what you think, because occasionally when I do that, they just go, Jesus, you're just a wanker. And just, that tends to be most people's description of me. You're just
but not a
postbox.
A wanker.
Next. But not a postbox.
No.
A big postbox. Wankery postbox. If ever a description for someone could be perfect,
that sounds
would
like
be
a hit
me.
Song.
It does.
A big wankery postbox.
Yeah, yeah.
It's from that really secret Postman Pat film.
Yeah.
Postman Pat and the big wankery postbox.
They're actually doing one with Ronan Keating playing Postman Pat.
Oh my god.
Or no, he's playing the singing voice and then someone else is playing.
It doesn't matter.
Well, is it a real, like, real actors being Postman Pat?
No, it's animated, I think.
Go on.
But,
that would be interesting, getting a live action Postman Pat. Just people kicking
with
the
a different person playing the singing Postman Pat. So they just swap them out.
Yeah.
Every so often.
But then it's very noticeable that it's Keating.
Yeah.
Postman Pat never sang. That's toying with nature, that is.
You don't mess with the postman.
Oh, God.
Let's start a petition to get it off. Get the songs off.
Well, at least get Keating off the film. Come on now. I mean, the film won't have credibility as it is, and you're throwing Keating in the mix. No offence, Ronan, if you're listening.
Might be another self-googler, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you know what I'd say he is?
Yeah.
He seems like the type, Ronan Keating. Damn, it's all just
although
about,
we should be careful.
It's all just about my affairs, oh no.
We were talking about Ronan Keating in the car, and it turns out we know a couple of... Well, B knows one of his guitar players.
And your dad knows...
And my dad knows the other one.
Oh no! So, To be fair, I'm sure you won't.
And he's coming tonight as well.
So. Yeah, he's singing.
Yeah, he's singing, yeah.
Oh, is that the guy who wrote Arclight, is it?
No.
Oh, that's Nick.
Got someone else?
Nick, the guy who used to be in Fat Lady Sings, a guitar player, now plays guitar for Ronan Keating.
Okay.
He doesn't say it's Ronan Keating, though. If you ever see
He's in denial about being Ronan Keating's guitar player.
He puts Facebook posts up of like the venues he's playing, and it's like big, like arenas in Europe and stuff, and it's like, playing here tonight, it's like, who with? And then he just leaves it. That turns out it's Ronan Keating.
Yeah, so I don't think
he's
gonna mind then, and he's not gonna listen to this anyway, because I've said loads of really offensive things on this podcast about people.
Mainly Ronan Keating.
Ronan Keating. I've got a beef with Ronan Keating.
Again, no offense. I was a big Poison fan when I was a kid, though.
We all were at one stage or another. It's like the Spice Girls. You're a big fan at one point. You see the film, and then it all just kind of fades away.
I never saw the film.
Jeez, I remember being like 6 and being allowed to stay up late to watch the Spice Girls film. What a sad childhood I had. But the Spice Girls film, Dad, come on. I must know what Baby and Scary do next. What a terrible childhood I had.
No, I'm sorry.
That and the musical. I heard the musical bombed like no tomorrow or something like that. It went down really badly.
It's awkward, he wrote.
Did you?
I wrote that musical. No, I didn't.
Oh, dear.
Oh,
well. You wrote for Mel C. And Baby.
Was that
the one that Rick Rubin produced?
Yeah. I really liked her. Like if she hadn't been in that band, she'd have been in an indie band. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's just like
yeah.
You just go through these channels, don't you?
Mm.
And yeah, she was great.
Boy bands and girl bands were big at the time.
Yeah.
Seemed to be the right route to go then, obviously.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, it kind of gets your foot in the door as well.
Well, we worked with a singer who won. I wouldn't watch things like this, but there was a talent thing. I can't remember what it's called. There was a singer who won it, and my daughter, who was really young at the time, liked her, and she said, you should write songs for them. There was a woman called Alex Parks, and I wrote...
Those were the weird...
Fame Academy.
I remember
her, yeah.
And she's still my pal, and she was in an indie band, and one of her friends said, why don't you enter that? And then she won, and then we produced... Me and my pal produced some of a record, and it doesn't sound like pop music. It was like thrashy guitars and stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, she had a hits and stuff. But I don't know how she feels about it. But she had a moment of fame and that. But it wasn't what she wanted to do.
Yeah.
In the end,
that's the thing. Most people just want to write and play music. Yeah. It doesn't matter whether like I know with Dara, you don't. I mean, it'd be lovely to be big and famous and stuff like that, but it doesn't matter to Dara. Like that's what you want to do, write music and play music. So that's just what some people want to do, and that's the best thing for it anyway. You might as well.
It's different, yeah. I mean, that's why one of the reasons I love about Eddie. So she had that big pop hit. It's like doesn't. So if we hadn't played it that night, no one would have even noticed.
Yeah,
with the, like, it's not many acts can not play a number one and,
yeah.
and then get away with. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I like about.
But yeah, because I've been to a few of the gigs.
And she's not done it.
Last and she's not done it.
Mm.
Yeah, it's never really makes a difference. Yeah.
I know.
It's just a, just a gene.
And so, if I was wondering if you could write for anyone who you're, I know you're writing for loads of people, yeah. but if you could write for anyone, who would it be?
It's really difficult.
Apart from Darren, of course.
Yeah. No, I'd like to do it. No, I remember being asked that really early on when I first got a publishing job. I honestly don't know. It always just what comes up.
Mm. And who kind of in music at the moment is impressing you?
Oh, who do I like? I tend to like, I used to run an indie shop, so it's always stuff. Like that, I don't know. Like, I really, the last couple of years, I've really liked John Grant. I think he's really good. You heard that?
Yeah.
Yeah, especially this. I like both records. But it'll be like just sort of funny little indie things.
Yeah.
That no one ever hears of, and occasionally they do, like with John Grant. Thing,
but,
yeah.
There's a site called eMusic which I like. Where you find sort of weird stuff. And I don't. I've never really bought. Big records or anything like that, but that's just because when you run an indie shop, that was the fun of it. It used to be getting the new releases on a Monday and funny sort of strange things that you liked. You know,
do you still own the shop? Do you?
No, I never owned it. No, I was a staff. Yeah,
all right.
And then I got to run it, and then I ran the warehouse with my best pal. And he was called Andy's Records, and it expanded. It got really big, and then it collapsed. But it was at one point and it was really. Cool shop, really, and it's spread all over the place. And so you want, and the guy who puts Eddie's Records out, the reveal which she's on, he did own a shop until quite recently. And once you've had that thing, it makes you hear music differently because on Monday you would hear everything. So you might end up your favorite record that week might be a reggae record or a heavy metal record. You start listening to music like, oh, those people are good, rather than, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's the way I listen to music.
It's not the stuff that's just kind of
the top ten. No, the top ten or something that's even trendy. It's just like you just get into this, like part of the fun was finding a record that you just liked, you know.
Yeah,
so I still like that.
I like that attitude.
Yeah,
it took me a while, but yeah.
Because she can. It might be a pop record. Might be the best thing you can hear that week.
Like I was listening to an album I bought about 2 weeks ago. It's the dance act called Disclosure.
Mm.
We were kind of just starting to get
Towards.
And that's a really good album. Like,
yeah,
it's really, really cool.
Yeah, that was amazing. Kind of like that got to number one with to everyone by surprise, didn't it? They're really young, aren't they?
Yeah,
that is good.
I think they're our age.
Yeah, they are.
It's two brothers,
they are.
Who just made songs in their bedroom.
And it's a really, really good record.
I normally wouldn't listen to that.
But that was it. Like Donald Glover, like he kind of started out just recording stuff on his computer at home. And I don't listen to rap music, but just his kind of stuff. It's quite different to everything. That's kind
yeah,
of
this
out
is
there
a this rapper called. He's called Childish Gambino. He's also an actor.
Oh yeah.
He's in.
Did the live lounge there last week for BBC.
Yeah.
Did a good.
It's
set.
Cool. His last album was really good.
Yeah.
It's really like a lot of weird arrangements.
Yeah.
Because it's hip hop music, but then the guy who co-produces it does a lot of film scores and
TV scores.
It's quite like there'll be a song like where it's really kind of heavy drums and stuff, and then it just cuts into a mellotron and things like that. And there was weird African talking drums and stuff throughout the album. Yeah, it's cool.
Like stuff like that wouldn't be the music I would necessarily listen to. I can't really stand
it's
rap
good.
Music and stuff
it's,
like that.
You should, you should always
kind of broaden your horizons.
Yeah, because you have more things that you'll enjoy.
We better wrap up.
Yeah, geez, we've been going for 40 minutes there.
Is that 40 minutes?
Yeah.
Will you edit that down?
Not that much stuff.
All the offensive stuff I said. All the Keating stuff. See, the good thing is Darren doesn't really do much editing, so if I mention Keating enough, it'll just have to stay in there.
All right, yeah.
So it's handy enough.
But thanks a million.
Thanks so much for doing it, Boo.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
So
great honour to have you on.
Any radio tours still going on?
Yeah.
Although this will be going up about Thursday. So
you're going to the 22nd, so I don't know if that will still be
22nd.
Yeah, until Saturday's the last 22nd.
Okay, well then
so it'll be up by then.
And
then
catch
Eddie's
again.
New album was out.
Yeah, and then we're coming back in April.
That's the Northern Irish tour, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, but I think there might have been a couple more dates added. I'm not sure.
Oh, okay.
Oh, Delhi.
I don't really pay attention. It's very bad. I just look at the what I'm doing that day. It's really bad.
Well, look it up because Thursday night was my first Eddie Reader gig and it was absolutely amazing.
Oh, good.
It was
I'm
so
glad you enjoyed
brilliant.
It. Yeah. So, you did see a good one. We were sitting about afterwards and that was in our top 10 of ever.
Which is pretty good.
That's
pretty
good, yeah. Really, yeah.
And then a new Boo album coming out.
Yeah, my name in brackets is called. Yeah. And well, it was meant to come out in May, but there'll be an EP that comes out first. Yeah. But yeah, I've got the new.
Who's that? Who's producing it actually?
That'll be me. I wish it was someone. So it's me. So it's like torture. But I'm doing it near the EP. I'm doing recording it near where I live with a young guy, a friend of my daughter's, who I've been doing stuff with. He's really, really fantastic. And then Mark's going to mix it.
Okay, brilliant.
Brilliant.
Yeah, I can't wait to hear that.
Yeah. Cool.
Once again, thank
and
you
buy,
so much for coming on.
Any of the other albums.
Yeah, buy things.
Buy stuff.
Broaden your horizons.
Yeah.
Buy the weirdest album in the shop.
Yeah.
And you might just like it.
Yeah.
There you go.
All right. Okay, thanks very much.
Thank you so much.
Bye.